ba bum, ba bu ba bu ba ba, ba bu ba bu ba bum, ba bu ba bu ba bum, ba bu ba bu ba ba, ba bu ba bu ba ba.
All right, Harry, here it is. The bonus hour, the stream of consciousness, name it whatever you want. Here it is. The dream has finally come true. Tuesday. Oh, very nice. Very nice. Hi, everybody. It's me, Bill Leff. It's him, Harry Tynowitz. Harry's filling in for Wendy, both during the show and during the announcement, during the song of what day it is. You nailed it.
Thank you.
For just right on the dot.
I was off book.
Is that true?
For you youngsters out there.
For you non-theater majors, that means he committed it to memory. That's what that means. All right. So much to discuss. We started the show today by talking about the All-Star Game, which will be played tonight in Washington, D.C. I don't have the teams in front of me, but I'm pretty sure it's the American League v. the National League.
That's who it is, Bill.
How come in every other time when there's forces squaring off against each other, you say verse, but in Roe and Wade, you say v? Why can't you just say verse? Roe versus Wade.
I don't know, but my favorite actor is Courtney
B. Vance.
Versus Vance. Yeah.
It's not V, it's V.
V.
It is not. All right. You have taken this occasion to honor a White Sox player with a song.
Oh, well, you know, it's hard to believe that the White Sox have not had a player voted in by the fans for 22 years.
They've had guys start the game as pitcher.
Yes, right. Chris Sale did it a couple times. Mark Burley did it.
Esteban Loaiza did it.
Esteban Loaiza did it here.
Yeah.
One of the few guys to do it here. And I really enjoyed my time with Esteban Loaiza. I got to know him a little bit. He had a little problem this beginning of this year, if you remember.
Remind me what happened. I knew there was a
Esteban Loaiza, I would have to get, let me put in Esteban Loaiza arrest to get the right quantity. But Esteban Loaiza was arrested with a great deal of drugs.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Harry, I don't know if you and I have ever discussed this, but I'm against drugs.
You're not for them?
I'm not a fan of the drugs.
Well, you shouldn't be a pharmacist.
No, I shouldn't. You bring up a good point.
I'm giving up
my pharmacy. What?
He had 44 pounds of heroin and cocaine. Well,
that's a whole week's worth.
It's a lot of heroin and cocaine.
Yes, it is.
What if you had a restaurant? It was like Esteban Loaiza's heroin and cocaine.
I don't think it would do well.
How do you?
He's out of baseball, right? He hasn't.
Now he is.
Right now he's walking to Toronto, Canada, and back.
Yeah, this is not good. But Loaiza, I'm trying to think if James Baldwin started a game.
Nope.
He got a win, but I don't think he started.
I don't think he did.
So, of course, in the mid '90s, there was one great White Sox player at first base,
Frank Thomas,
and he was actually elected 4 straight years. 1 year he didn't play. So Jose Abreu is playing tonight. And he's going to bat 8th, but
yes.
He's starting, and he's playing first base, and my friend Alexi Music, he sings really well,
mm-hmm.
So I don't like to sing.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to sing, but I don't like people to go, I can't
my
listen
ears
to
are
that.
Bleeding.
Yeah,
what's making that sound?
I can't even listen to that parody song, so I asked Alexi to sing it.
That's very grown up of you, because there was a time where you say, I wrote this song, I'm going to sing this song, but you've recognized that somebody else could sing it better.
We used to have huge arguments about this at another radio station.
You and I did?
No, not you and me.
Oh.
We never argued anything.
No.
Except when you said that Batman isn't the greatest crime fighter of all.
I did say that.
Mm-hmm.
You took that to heart.
I did take that to heart.
Yeah.
He has no superpowers.
Green Hornet's better.
They fought to a draw.
I don't want to get into it.
They fought to a draw.
I know.
Okay, it wasn't like Green Hornet won.
It was a close fight.
It was a draw.
All right.
Okay, now maybe Kato could kick the you-know-what out of Robin.
On his worst day.
But Batman, Kato, I have upset stomach,
yep.
My ears are bleeding,
yep.
I cannot see, but I will beat you, Robin.
Yep.
Then he would.
That sounded just like Kato, by the way. That's an amazing Kato impression you just pulled off. Go ahead. All right, so you said to your friend, I wrote a song, I want you to perform it.
Yeah, because Jose Abreu is song worthy. So,
yes.
So this is like
I agree with you.
This is what I call him a story song.
Yeah. Oh, it's a story song.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You know,
okay.
Like Edmund Fitzgerald is a story
yeah.
song.
It's
you know,
in the
American Pie is a story.
So it's
song.
In the tradition of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald
yes.
and American Pie.
Yes.
Oh, this is lofty. Okay, good. I can't wait to hear this. This is great. What else should we know about it? It pays tribute to the White Sox
yes.
first baseman.
It's the tale of how the White Sox went and got themselves a Jose Abreu.
All right, I'm anxious to hear it. Here goes.
White Sox needed a stick who can hit the ball all day, yay. So Rick Hahn, he thought quick, said my guys down Cuba way, yay. Said Abreu, won't you please come to the cell? Yeah, Abreu, please say goodbye to Fidel. Cause all Sox fans are psyched, cause your strong arms and your calves all Cubans Reinsdorf likes, except the one that owns the Mavs. We scream Abreu, we're all so glad that you signed. Yeah, Abreu, it's the summer of 79. Ooh, Abreu, yeah, yeah, yeah. Abreu, yeah, yeah, yeah. With a swing like that, you know Sox fans are glad. With a swing like that, you know Sox fans are glad.
Well, how about that? Wasn't that nice?
How about that?
I'm Mel Allen. How about that?
That's a solid Mel Allen. I like how you tied it into baseball.
Thank you. I like that a lot, but to me, Harry, get mad. It reminds me a lot of She Loves You by the Beatles.
I don't see any comparison. You don't see any comparison whatsoever.
Nothing?
No.
Nothing? All right. That's fair.
That's a goofball. Right.
Well, that's what a nice job you did there.
Well, thank you. Again, I wrote it. Alexi Music sings it. If you go to aleximusic.com. He sings it.
What is he normally known for? Not just waiting around for you to call saying I've written another song parody. What does he normally do?
Well, he was like a finalist on
American Idol.
American Idol.
Is that right?
Yes. And he's from here. And
that's very impressive.
I had, like I said, the other show I used to do, somebody wanted to have their voice on parody songs. So
I'm having Chris Daughtry record a song parody that I wrote. It should be ready by noon tomorrow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Wouldn't it be nice if Abreu gets to hear that?
Oh, yeah.
How can you make that happen? There must be a way to make that happen.
Well, you know, we're the flagship home of the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, this is. WGN is.
Yeah, so I would think that would be pretty easy, but we'd have to have like his translator, you know, explain to him the funny stuff.
Do you know, a couple years ago when I wrote that song about, it was called My Favorite Cub, about Jake Arrieta, the whole time I'm thinking, wouldn't it be cool if he heard it? And if he does, boy, I hope he likes it. What if he just heard it and went, what is that?
I would like to hear the Jake Arrieta song.
No. There's no time for it on the stream.
No, I would like to hear the Jake Arrieta song.
No.
I can't remember how it goes.
It's been put to rest.
Do we have the capability to find that song?
No, it's too... Yeah.
It's so great, Bill. It's a terrific song. No, I mean, you hope it's good. I've played it for... I've played certain songs I've done for certain people, and they like them, and other people are like... okay, thanks. You know, they don't care, and I spend so much time on it. I must have done 100 parody songs.
Yeah.
You know, over the years. And it's a great feeling. Yeah, you want everybody. You want all the listeners to love it. You want listeners to... I'll be, like, getting bagels on Dempster Street, and somebody will go, I love your Major Wright song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's mostly the Hasidic community who's enjoying your song parody.
Well, I mean, I could be anywhere. I was in the DG.
Jacob Arrieta. Arrieta, he's my favorite Cub. Almost pitched a perfect game. Destined for the Hall of Fame. Freeze the frame. Shout his name. Perfect game. Hall of Fame. Oh, Arrieta, Jacob Arrieta. Arrieta, he's my favorite Cub. Doesn't give up many hits, enjoys a hot dog and some Schlitz. Many hits, have a Schlitz, perfect game, Hall of Fame. Oh,
all right, that's it, Chaz. You don't have to play anymore. We've established the fact that I'm out of my mind. Thank you very much. But it goes on.
Thank you, Chaz.
The Guinness Book of World Records congratulated me. It's the longest song parody in history. It's 1 day and 3 hours long.
Well, I think one thing, you know, my brother Danny does the bar show every year.
Yeah. This is where lawyers go up on stage and they do comedy scenes.
If you had asked me to list 10,000 things we would talk about today, bar show would probably not be on there.
Right.
It's happened for like 80 years in Chicago, and it's the week like before Christmas, and it's all written by lawyers, performed by lawyers, and it's actually never been better.
Is that true?
Yes, there is.
Why do you think that is?
I think because the two guys that create it now are so good. They're so talented, and they're good, and they're great. And I also think that right now, unfortunately, the political world has never been easier to parody.
Yeah, maybe that's probably right.
But they they would always take like a 4 minute and 28 second parody song and do a 4 minute and 28 song and do a parody of the entire song.
No, if you're doing it right, you do what you just did, which is you shorten it.
Right.
You get the essence of the song.
There you go.
What I did was the exact opposite. I took a song that was too long to begin with and made it even longer.
But it was great. You sung it at Acapulco. It was awesome.
Yeah, I was in Acapulco.
But yeah, so I think that's a minute 9 seconds.
Yours, you know, is.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Well, when you choose the Beatles to make a song parody out of, all the Beatles songs are only 2.5 minutes anyway.
Perfect.
So you almost can't go wrong.
They're perfect.
Yeah.
So, so the Bar Show always did like parodies that were very lengthy.
Right.
Very long.
And they paid the price.
Yes. But they, you know, they're lawyers, so they get billed by the hour.
You know what my mom used to do that I love? This is one of the things I miss most about my mom. My mom would watch an episode of some TV show, usually Family Matters. And then she would tell me, she'd go, "Do you watch Family Matters?" And the answer is always the same. "I do not watch Family Matters." And she goes, you missed the cutest episode on Friday. And then she would tell me what happened in the episode, and her version of it was always 33 minutes long. Family Matters
27.
Was 27 minutes, but her retelling of the episode was always 33 minutes. And I'd always say to her, I go, "Mom, how did they do a special two-part Family Matters? Because your description, then I didn't tell you this part." Then Urkel, who's already upset anyway, he comes in and he says, and it was the cutest thing. So, yeah, that's what I miss the most about her. Her ability to take something that happened in a short amount of time and make it longer.
See, I still have my mom, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, dementia. And so every Sunday morning I take her to play bingo where she lives. She lives at this retirement community. And so I'm not even getting her out of the building, but I'm getting her out of her room.
Yeah, that's important.
Which is a major victory.
Yeah.
And we sit there and we play bingo, and there are elderly people there at all different levels.
Yeah, of course.
So some of them are like worse than mom.
Hmm.
And some of them aren't as bad. And like, you know, one lady has Tourette's.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Tourette's really isn't funny unless you're 95. And then it's kind
of
funny.
Is that when it starts?
Yeah,
to be,
I think so.
Yeah.
But the other day, like, my mom started playing bingo before the game started.
Oh.
So I thought that's not good.
Oh no, you gotta play when everybody else plays.
Yes, and also if you're gonna play bingo before the game starts, you should win, right?
Not necessarily. It'd be nice to win, but you never know.
Yeah, and then I was thinking, like, you know, she's got dementia, and she's playing bingo. Like, are there worse diseases to have? You know, to play bingo with.
Yeah.
If you're dyslexic and you won bingo, what would you yell?
Ognib.
Ognib.
Yeah. Is the bingo where she is, are they using markers or are they using the stamper?
They use markers.
Yeah.
And she's got red and blue hats. People, it's like
red and blue hats.
When you play Monopoly, you know how people have to be the car.
Yes.
They have to be the wheelbarrow. So they've got like 22 residents playing bingo and 7,000 chips to play with.
Oh.
So some of them have to have poker chips. Others of, my mom has to have these little like hats that came from some other game.
Yeah.
You know, they've got like the Stratego guys are in there.
Oh, they do, yeah.
I always say, use the Stratego guys, Mom.
It's the only sport where once somebody wins or thinks they win, you have to recap the entire game. Like any other sport, once there's a winner, everybody goes, "Well, that guy won."
Wouldn't it be great if Super Bowl were like that? Hey, the Eagles have upset the Patriots. No, let's go back.
Yeah, let's go back scene by scene and find out what happened.
And I always do the same joke when someone's reading. My mom always gives me the courtesy laugh. Whatever someone's reading back their numbers, they'll be like, B8, I-29. Free space. I don't think he called free space.
Oh, that's always funny. That's a crowd pleaser.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. We'll take a quick break, and then Judy Pilak will join us. She'll give you the news, and then there's more of us, Bill and Harry, on WGN. So when they do this home run derby, the way it's supposed to work is whoever's pitching, and in this case it was Bryce Harper's father.
Yes.
Valerie Harper. So what they're supposed to do is they're supposed to wait until the ball that's hit has landed until you throw another pitch, because it's a timed contest. So the rule says whoever's pitching has to wait until the ball that's just hit lands, and then you throw another pitch. But his dad was not doing that. His dad was just throwing him and wait. You know, he'd hit him
and
another
there,
one.
Well, and right there, having your dad pitch to you.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
He's the guy who taught you probably how to hit.
But they want home runs.
Didn't Jose Javi Baez's brother pitch to him?
You get to pick.
Yeah, you're right, I guess. They want you to hit the
when
ball.
Chris Bryant was in it, his dad, was his pitcher. So they want you to get as many homers as possible.
Okay.
Right. That's the goal.
But he wasn't waiting. Why didn't they say?
Because baseball wanted him to win. He was in his home stadium.
Right.
It looked good if the Washington National player, who everybody predicted would win.
No, it would have looked better if Schwarber would have won.
Well, for us, it would have looked a lot better. And I wonder if, did Kyle Schwarber have a statement about this, or did he just go, all in fun, whatever.
It's possible that Bryce Harper could be a Cub next year.
That was very possible.
Oh, all right. Well, then let's all just...
Just take it in. Right. That's fine.
Our bad words we had for him last night.
Can I ask you this? Yesterday was a huge news day. I know you were in the newsroom here at WGN all day long with the joint press conference between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. What was the feeling going on in the newsroom as all this was kind of unraveling? What did you guys think?
Well, I would say during his speech, the silence was deafening.
Yeah. Just the disbelief of what was going on.
But, as reporters, of course...
You're supposed to remain neutral.
Yes, we have to remain neutral. Yeah. So on days like that, I find it's very helpful to just stick straight to the facts.
Yeah.
And mostly what I did was just report on what the reaction.
Yeah.
Which was overwhelming and overwhelmingly not positive.
And yet, within that reaction, and it was on both sides, it was the Democrats who, of course, are going to criticize what went on, but many Republicans did too. But then some did not. Rand Paul was somebody who said that this was a good thing. Mike Pence today talked about what a great thing this was.
The usual suspects, who was going to stick to him.
So when
I was really surprised by some of the ones who usually do that who didn't. Peter Roskam, our Illinois congressman. I mean, some people really.
Yeah.
And John McCain, who is a critic of the president's.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of really for him negative publicity, which is obviously why he's talking today. But towards the end of the day, too, I did play a cut from ABC that I thought was interesting in that they explained that the president probably didn't understand the difference between collusion and meddling.
Oh, no. Really?
And it made sense. And they said, in his defense, he can never agree that, there was any kind of Russian anything.
Yeah.
If he says, yes, there was Russian meddling, that might mean to people, there was Russian collusion on my campaign's part.
Right.
You know what I mean? So he's to distance himself so far from that.
So does this infer that he didn't understand it then and he doesn't understand it now?
Well, I don't do inferments. So.
Oh, all right. No, of course you don't.
You don't do inferments?
No.
The old Judy Pryor.
No, yeah, in the old days.
I only do the facts.
You could line up and get an inferment a minute if you wanted one.
That was just a political analyst giving his two thoughts on it that probably, possibly, and quoting a source.
Jude, let's say that that's true. Whose job is it to sit him down and go, Mr. President, sir, here is the difference. Here is the clear-cut difference between those two.
How long has it been?
Since he's been the president?
Yeah.
16 months, 17 months?
Nobody, there's that job is vacant.
Yeah.
I think it's clear. I mean, as he was saying that, his, national security advisor was saying, no, there has absolutely been Russian meddling in the election. I mean, everyone. It's what we always hear.
So one of the things they need to determine is, if it is a given, although you'll get fights on this as to whether or not it is a given that there was some interaction between the Russians in this. So what does he need to do? Yesterday he had a perfect chance to call this out. The stage was set for that to happen, and he did just the opposite.
Right. So I think today he'll do that.
Do you really? Yeah.
Now he's gone from Putin. He's not standing next to him, and I just got the feeling he looked very uncomfortable.
Oh yeah.
And Putin looked very much at ease, and so I don't know what that dynamic is there. If it's a more of a personal thing with him, but I feel like now that he's away from Putin, now he'll be strong and say some harsh things and stick up for the
Did you see Senator Lindsey Graham said that Trump, you know, Putin gave Trump a soccer ball?
Yeah.
Because the America's part of the North America, all three countries will be hosting.
Mexico, Canada, and U.S. will host the next World Cup.
Thank you for clearing up the three countries yes. for me. I was going to say yippee yappee and yow.
Yeah, will we?
But he gave him a soccer ball, and you know, it's in Qatar next, and then it'll be here in 2026.
Yeah.
And. Lindsey Graham said that Trump should check the soccer ball for listening devices.
That's from Lindsey Graham. That's very, very funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Or poison is tragic and funny at the exact same time.
Putin doesn't want anything to happen to Trump. Are you kidding?
No,
that's true. Yeah.
No. So there was a question thrown Donald Trump's way about who does he trust, and is it American intelligence or the Russians? And then he quickly made it a story about the Electoral College and how it favors the Democrats, although it doesn't. It's just the opposite. If you look at the results of the last couple of right. elections, it's the exact opposite. And then he gave numbers of his electoral victory over Hillary Clinton, which also weren't quite accurate. But what is that all about? Can't you just answer the question that's asked? Why was he talking about the Electoral College?
He always goes back to those talking points.
Yeah.
I mean, if he doesn't have an answer or doesn't want to answer, always goes back. I mean, I'm sick to death of hearing about Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone tell him she didn't win.
Yeah.
You know, but that's always his failsafe.
He uses that in his story about she didn't win, she's out, I'm the president, and stuff like that. But he's the one who's not hearing that.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's hard being a journalist these days.
Would you say, because if you listen to anybody's breakdown on what took place, that it was the darkest day of his presidency so far? It was yesterday the darkest day of his presidency? Or among them? Let's say among them.
Well, on the international stage, I would say. I mean, you thought it couldn't get worse just a couple of days ago when people were complaining about... You know,
what about when he pulled out? What about when he took us out of the... blanking on it. Peace Corps.
NATO?
NATO, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying, and so that, you know, what he, just some of the things he said to our allies, not really, again, maybe not understanding what an ally is and how long it takes to form that relationship.
Right.
Just when you thought you couldn't, I think then some of his critics were like, oh my gosh, and then he said this.
But his tactic seems to be, when you go back to the allies, we know who these established friends are, the people that we're supposed to be in union with, and he keeps bad-mouthing them. And then if Kim Jong-un is around or Vladimir Putin is around, it's, hey, look, we're all friends and buddies.
Right. Yeah.
That's obviously a conscious effort to put that together, but... Again, doesn't somebody advise
right.
him and go,
I think I can safely say, anyone can safely say that, yeah, he's not listening. He's not listening to, you know, I always think that sometimes when you have someone in a position of power, like the President of the United States, and you might not agree with a lot of what he does, or you might have different views on what you think about how he does things, I always would say to myself, okay, but they surround themselves generally with good people.
Yeah.
They surround themselves with people who know and smart people. This administration, there are a lot of critics who say that didn't happen. That's not happening. And it's actually the counter part of that. So it's people who don't feel strongly enough that they can tell him the way things are.
Or he just won't listen to them if they disagree.
Or he won't listen. And I think I think we've heard enough stories that doesn't he listen, but you better not even try.
Yeah.
It's one of those things.
Yeah.
And then I say to myself, who would want that job? Why would you want to stay in a job where you know you cannot tell the president who you're supposed to be advising?
Right. You just have to nod and smile.
You cannot give him advice.
Right. No, it doesn't seem to work.
What's the point?
I was thinking of the Paris Climate Agreement.
Oh,
were you?
Yes.
With Paris Hilton?
Yes. That's exactly. Yeah. Jerry Paris.
Well, I mean, sadly, this press conference took place during the show yesterday, and I didn't get to see it live. It was on the monitor, but I couldn't tell what was going on. And then after the show, I went, I want to watch this. And I watched it in its entirety. And the whole time, I just kept going, oh, no.
I think one of the most, really, to me, shocking things was when he said, great news.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Russia is offering to join our investigation of Russia.
Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, Russian investigators will investigate if Russia messed up messed in our election.
I wonder how that'll end up.
That's when you think of saying he said that into a microphone to the world.
It's like somebody did the Jedi mind trick to him.
I know.
And he just bought it.
Every time. Like
they're not the droids I'm looking for? Okay, you're free to go.
Yeah, so I don't, you know.
Guess what? You can now buy a sack of White Castle, and they're great for your stomach.
Yeah, they're terrific for you.
Well, that is true, Harry.
Yeah, that part is true.
Well, if Jesus says it's true.
That part is true. All right, how much faith do you put in this? People say with Vladimir Putin, because of his training, his KGB training, he's able to easily manipulate a guy like Donald Trump. Do you buy it? I think there's got to be something to that, right?
Yeah. I mean, we know he's a great manipulator. I mean, we've seen it. I'm surprised he didn't bring his dog in like he usually does. But he says bring some right. vicious dogs in. He knows people don't like dogs.
Right.
But
don't
you
look
know,
into Boris's face.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to think that's true because this is the president of the United States. And then, you know, everyone forgets, and people kept bringing this up yesterday about how small Russia's economy really is. I mean, Russia isn't even on the same plane, really, with us as the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
But now, that's how things have changed. And looking at that yesterday, you would not have known that.
So do you think part of President Trump... Oh, boy, it hurts to say that sometimes. Do you think some of Donald Trump's motive...
Some people just call him 45.
Yeah, that's not bad. Right, let's go with 45. Do you think his motive here... I can't even phrase this properly because it doesn't make sense as I'm putting the sentence together in my head. Do you think that that's his concern, is keeping the gross national product of the United States where it is? We're not only number one. I don't think anyone's even close to us, right? Yeah. China's number two. I know
right,
that.
Exactly.
But
and who we
they're
should,
a
yeah.
fraction of what
the
we
critics
are.
Critics say who we should really be worried about is China. Russia doesn't really, pose, I don't know. Yeah, so, of course, here are the stories that are going around that obviously that Russia must have something so big on him.
Right.
The women in the hotel.
You know what though? As we've learned, he can get past all that.
But
the only thing that he's not going to be able to get past is something illegal. And I don't know that Russia has something illegal on him. And I don't even know if any of that. I mean, these are just people speculating. Why does he act like this? And I don't know. Does he have a lot of money tied up in Russia? I don't know.
That's what I think it is.
Yeah, because I don't know. It's got always comes down to money.
When the
it?
Whole thing came down with his taxes, you say to yourself, realistically, the man is hiding his taxes, and there's got to be a reason he's hiding his taxes. He always uses the same excuse that they're auditing him, and you're not allowed during an audit. You're not allowed to show. But we've been right. That's 100% inaccurate. So he's obviously got something in the taxes that he knows that if the American public sees it, we're all going to shake our head and go, oh, this is not good. So all it could be at this point is that he is profiting off of things just like this, right? He's got to have some deal in place with various parts of the world that we don't see eye to eye with that would indicate that he's benefiting from this financially, right? Would that shock you if he's got some deal in place with Russia?
Nothing shocks me.
Yeah.
Nothing would
they can't anymore.
No.
Do you think Trump's favorite CD to listen to is by the KGBGs?
They are so bad.
They're bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Unless you're at a dance party, then they're pretty good.
I know that one of the reasons you get into the news game is for days like yesterday, but it's so frustrating to watch it play out because there's so much at stake here.
Right.
It's just dangerous.
It's dangerous. This, I think, showed a lot of people how dangerous it can be.
Yeah.
And so we'll see what he says today, how he backs out of this, because he generally is pretty good.
Does anyone have the power? I don't know the answer to this. I really don't. But does anyone have the power to put together a meeting of the important heads of state? I guess Paul Ryan's name comes to mind right away. Does somebody say, I got to make 10 or 15...
Is Bill walking toward a coup here?
I think he is.
To say, gentlemen,
with the P.
Ladies and gentlemen, come to this specific place at a specific time because we got troubles.
Maybe the new magician restaurant.
Maybe that would be the place.
Because they have a lot of passageways and stuff.
Right.
Sounded like.
Yes. Right.
And maybe they can get lost in there. And
right.
It's much more than a restaurant.
And they can, you know, and then you know what? Maybe bring Trump and just show him some magic tricks.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe hypnosis or something might work.
Put Papa John in there as well.
He would definitely have to be there. Yeah. All right. I mean, I know what I saw yesterday, and I'm watching this by myself. I'm watching it at home. It was online, and I went, that's not good, that's not good, that's not good, this is bad. He kept saying Donald Trump was selling it as this is a good thing, but I wasn't seeing it that way, and I'm not the only one.
I mean, personally, for me, my issue with rulers like that, you know, their human rights violations are just number one, right there, the first thing.
Right.
You know.
Wait, you don't think you should be allowed to kill journalists if you don't see eye to eye with them?
Or anyone, really. I think murder might be...
That's why when Trump describes him as he's a pretty good guy.
Yeah. I mean, how many people is he really murdering?
If you look away from all
of
that.
Kim Jong-un, I mean, you know, come on.
Right.
I don't understand.
With him, I feel safer because I'm not a relative of his.
And that's what, as an American, that's what really upsets me.
Yes.
As an American, I'm like, this is what we stand for.
Yes.
Bryant Gumbel has a show on HBO called Real Sports.
Yeah, I watch it.
Bernie Goldberg, who a lot of people think of as a political guy, is, you know, I think of him as a sports guy because he's on that show. He did a whole story about the people in Russia, the journalists that have stood up to Putin. And have
said,
it doesn't end well. A lot of these guys are in jail or have been assassinated.
Right.
And they get assassinated like on main streets and stuff like that. And it's just insane that this guy is, you know, Trump is calling him, you know, a good guy.
Right.
He's a good guy. Yeah. He's strong.
Maybe good guy doesn't mean what I think it means.
Well, but see, what worries me is that what appeals to Trump? Is that what appeals to him?
I don't think so. Trump said he was going to be tough with people. He doesn't seem like he's that tough with people. He's a pushover.
But Trump's thing that makes Trump's nostrils get all big and excited is he likes to sniff out power. He likes people who he perceives as being powerful.
That's what I mean. Is that his bag there? Like, he likes that. He like, oh, this little guy here next to me, huh?
Yes. Yes.
It's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Well, we all agree on that.
We all do agree on that. Here's a story that I find fascinating. Maybe you will, too. Someone has started a GoFundMe page for Kylie Jenner. Are you familiar with the work of Kylie Jenner?
Sure. She's on that Keeping Up with the Kardashians show.
She plays Kylie. Jude, are you taking off? You got to take off? Thanks for hanging out. So Kylie Jenner is the subject of a GoFundMe page because they're trying to raise $100 million for Kylie Jenner. So that she can be considered a billionaire. She is $100 million short of being a billionaire. So this guy decided, Josh Ostrovsky, decided enough of that. We need to make her a billionaire. Please send money.
Oh, it's great. Perfect. I like when people set up the GoFundMe page because he's got to bring potato salad to the company Super Bowl party.
Right, right, right.
You know, somehow this is lost on me, but I guess it's tongue-in-cheek if this other guy set it up.
One day after Forbes declared that cover star Kylie Jenner is set to become one of the world's youngest self-made billionaires, I'm going to stop myself for just a little bit. Is her money through being a model, or is there more?
She's got to be.
I mean, she started out with a bunch of money,
right?
So that's some of it.
Yeah,
but I guess the rest of her fortune is from being a model,
right? She's getting tons of revenue that way.
Or do you know what is a new? Here's a new cottage industry that didn't exist a short time ago, but now is huge.
Cottages.
Well, cottages are a big cottage industry, and the cottage cheese industry, Harry, is also a big cottage industry. Cottage fries, not so much. Yeah. I'm shocked. Is being an influencer. Do you know what that is?
She makes a comment. She says, this is a wonderful product, and that product becomes popular.
If you make Plaquemines mustard.
Yes.
And you do. So you say to Kylie Jenner, could you send out a tweet saying, boy, there's nothing better on a hot dog than Plaquemines mustard, and I will send you X amount of dollars. You then are an influencer.
Right. And that's what she does.
That's what she's making her money. Right. So one day after she was named as one of the world's youngest self-made billionaires, she's 20, by the way, fans of the reality star and makeup mogul did their part to give her the extra bump that she needs to reach this milestone. Following the release of the cover, comedian Josh Ostrovsky created a GoFundMe page to help Jenner earn the $100 million that she needs to tip her net worth into the billions. Now, knowing that Josh is a stand-up comic leads me to believe he's doing this as a joke, as a bit, but I'm sure there are plenty of people who are fans of Kylie Jenner's or her family's who won't see it as a joke and say, what a crime this is that such a talented girl isn't a billionaire. I must give my hard-earned money to her.
Well, they can do that. That would be a very bad idea, but they could do that.
How much have you given so far?
700,000.
That's about right. You're headed in the right direction.
Justin Bieber's wife, fiance, Baldwin.
Haley Baldwin?
She's also, now, would you consider her?
She is also an influencer.
Yeah. Would you consider her self-made? Because it started with the Baldwin name, but she's like big, you know.
She's a model in her own
model, right.
Yeah.
So I'd say she's on the same train.
When we were in New York last week, we were in...
Bill, we were not in New York.
No, you and I weren't.
You're
my family
on something,
and I.
Dude.
You were not
time
there
to
with
get
me.
Get off of it.
Yeah. You were there with me in spirit.
Okay.
Everything I saw in New York, I went, you know who would love this? Harry would love this. All right, so we were in a boutique. One of my daughters, Reese, was shopping in a boutique. And there were two models who I didn't know who they were, but the other people in the store were very excited to see them. All I know is they were very tall and very thin, and there was no doubt about it, they were models, right?
Yes.
So they came in, and the people in the boutique went nuts, and the people working there got very excited. And then they said to the models, they said, if you don't mind, we want to take a picture of both of you in our store and put it on social media. And they both had just the knowledge of this made them pucker up. They just got all excited. They go, oh, yeah, please do, like that. So they took a couple pictures of them. And I thought to myself, this must mean something because they're obviously famous models who I don't know.
Their store sales are going to spike.
They're going to go up, yeah, exponentially. And then I said, I'm also here if you'd like to take a picture of me. And the store closed. They just went out of business.
It was a Sears.
Right.
Yeah.
It was the last Sears in New York City. How unfortunate. Kylie Jenner was the cover of Forbes magazine today for having a net worth of $900 million. And he says, Josh Ostrowski, this is heartbreaking news. I don't want to live in a world where Kylie Jenner doesn't have $1 billion. We must, all caps, we must raise $100 million to help her get to $1 billion. Please spread the word. This is extremely important. At the time of publication of this article, the fundraiser so far had a donation total of $5.
Oh, no. They're a little shy. Slowly but surely.
Yeah. These things take time, Harry. Right.
Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly.
Right. But you say you've given $700,000.
Yeah, why is that not going through?
The check must not have cleared yet.
It was on credit card.
Well, then you'll be fine. You'll be fine. All right, we'll do this. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back, and we'll close things off. We'll tug on our ear like Carol Burnett used to do to let our aunties know that we're okay. Stick around. That's coming up next. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN. All right, I have some news for you, but I don't want you to get sad.
What is it?
The show's over. The bonus hour has come to a close, Harry. Uh-oh, I see a tear. Single tear.
A bonus.
Are you okay? Are you all right?
I'll be okay.
You'll be all right.
You'll get to come back here tomorrow and be with Jasmine and
Mike Toomey tomorrow. Mike Toomey.
Well, no, he's brilliant.
He's very funny.
I can't be upset when Mike Toomey's involved.
No, nobody can be upset.
But he's funny. They should give him more to do on Channel 9.
That'd be all right.
Yes, not just Skip Parker. I mean, like a lot more.
A lot more stuff.
Let Mike Toomey. Here's an idea. Let Mike Toomey be Mike Toomey.
Yeah. Oh. All right. Mike will join us tomorrow. He will be our special co-host for the day. Harry, I want to thank you. Always fun to have you on.
Go on.
That's all I had to say about that.
Oh, well, I'm done. Stop.
Done with the compliments. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Greatly appreciated. Tomorrow will be another adventure, so tune in then. Bye, everybody.